Hello and welcome. You're listening to the Buffering Podcast. My name is Adam.
And I'm Dan.
And we are coming to you from the Frank Oz Memorial Studio. I conformed. And because I like to say things like Frank Oz Memorial Cat Parlor of cats and
But thank
stuff.
You for conforming because today is...
What's... Yes, today is November 15th. I thought you were going to say something special about today, but it is the 15th today. And this episode will be dropping on the 18th, so hello from the past. And yes, so here we are with Kristen Johnson.
Hello.
A new guest this week. We're so happy to have you with us.
Oh, well, I'm excited to be here.
Good, good.
At least I'm pretending to be excited for purposes of said... Dropping on the 18th. Blast from the past coming at you guys.
Yeah.
True.
That's right.
It's good. Awesome. So what are we doing tonight?
Well,
first, I have a couple news stories that I am going to discuss with you guys.
Yeah.
Mostly, I mean, I try to do news that's going to be timely enough for Friday, so we will see how many of these stand up. The first one, which I don't have an article for this, but the... Amazon Fire shipped a day early to retailers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been made a day, or it's been available a day early so that people can see if they like that versus the Nook or versus the Kindle or the iPad or the Galaxy or every other tablet reader thing out there.
Right.
So now Amazon is in the tablet wars and they've latched on to Spotify so far for streaming music, and I believe Netflix is on there as well. So it's another, multi-function, multi-platform entertainment screen
device.
Yes.
Yeah. Cool.
So that's bringing them into participation with a lot of these other articles.
Uh huh.
For instance, Netflix is redesigning its mobile app.
Okay.
To the point where it now, they're trying to make it look flashier. I'm going to pull up a picture for the two of you.
Yes, because we need some bling before we start our movie.
Yes. It's...
I can't live without the bling, guys.
But the overall view of this new screen is that although flashier makes everything a little like, makes everything a little bit harder to find. And oh, here we go.
But it'll look pretty. Oh, yes. Yeah,
so it's supposed to look pretty. It kind of resembles iTunes in the, the primary things, and then goes into a bit of a list with a little bit of artwork. So they're trying to reflect something similar, but they are having problems. People are having problems navigating it, so it might not.
Yeah, I don't know that I would be a fan.
I'm
excited about the search by genre availability. Mm-hmm. I kind of do that every time. So
yeah,
I'm really obsessed with
the
current iPhone iPad app because if you're going into a TV season of any sort, it's really like the entire list in one go, so you don't have to like switch between seasons depending on what you're looking at. It's just
nice.
If you know you're going to watch something at the end, you just give it that, full swing flick, and it gets all the way to the bottom, and you find that episode. But oh wait, you want to go back two seasons to another episode? It's nice
scrolling.
Rather than all of the other navigating that.
Click
is
and
out
wait.
There.
No, I didn't want to go there. Let's click the back button five times and wait. Now I'm on the homepage again, and I have to search for it all over again.
Mm.
It's annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm a fan of the scroll as well.
I'm a fan of form and function, not just form.
Well, it functions well because it understands that I say, to the bottom! Yeah.
Go down!
Dive! Dive!
That logic.
Quickly! Quickly, run quickly, go!
To the bat cave.
So, on top of that... iTunes Match was released today to essentially make your library a streaming library if you have the right subscriptions. So if you pay, I believe it's $25 a year, and you also have to have the iCloud service, which is free, then all of your music that iTunes can recognize and then 250,000 songs on top of that can be put into this cloud to the point where if you have, you know, a couple different computers that you're trying to get a lot of your music to, or if you have an iOS device, then as long as you're in a Wi-Fi spot, if you have an iPod Touch, or if you're in a Signal spot for the iPad or for the iPhone, you can access any of your music and just have it stream regardless, so you're not limited by whatever space is on your device.
That's nice.
But
they're probably going to put limitations on that, though, like 2 computers or whatever.
Oh, it's I think it's the 5 that you already can do for your iTunes Store thing, and I think you can do a limited number of devices on top of that. So I think it's another 5.
Well, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Didn't it used to be like 2? I remember back in the day it was 2.
Yeah, I think way back when, and I made the mistake of using my school account, which is not as nice as your accounts that still get to stay active if you choose to use them.
Yay, Luther!
Woo, woo! What was that called?
Squirrel mail? In the day.
But then,
I'm thinking about our file sharing thing. What was that?
Oh.
We got shut down big time in like 2005.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I completely forgot about that.
That was like big news bears.
Wasn't it?
There were a couple big ones that were...
But there was one specifically at Luther, which was...
Yeah, like for the college.
I think I remember talking about this.
What was it called? It was like the symbol for it was like a couch.
Lofi.
Lofi.
That's right.
That's what it was.
Oh, man. Sharing ran rampant.
I know. I had a Toshiba laptop and that thing died after a year. But mm-hmm. I just took out the old hard drive and encased it. So now I have an external hard drive.
Oh.
And the hard drive's fine. It was just the computer stopped running and nobody could figure out why.
Right.
Sure.
Put so much money into that thing trying to repair it. But anyway, so I just took out this old hard drive and I have like a good half of the hard drive is just stuff from Lofi.
Nice.
Oops.
Yeah, I was pretty sad when they finally killed that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because holy crap, yeah, that was big. And it was fast because it was just all like on Luther's network. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Too bad we don't have something like that now.
Huh. Nearly everything has gone legit, or there's always torrenting.
Yeah.
Enter the Hodunk music.
I remember back when in my day.
File sharing used to be okay.
The other story I had is Google is also releasing their own in the cloud music store thing, which is weird because they had announced this before that they were going to do this, but at the time they had very little participation from major record labels. There are essentially like 4 really big ones out there. I know it's Warner Brothers, EMI, and Sony, and another one. And with that, you know, everyone's like, oh, well, Google's going to suck then because you can't access any of your music because none of these people have agreed to release the rights for it. So they've come to the point where I believe tomorrow, on Wednesday, they're supposed to announce it, potentially. But apparently still only one company is signed on for this thing. But they're going for a launch anyway, hoping that things will... that they'll prove their traffic because they're supposedly tied to the new Google Plus accounts.
Oh, that's going to do it.
Yeah,
that sounds like a sound business plan. Let's cross our fingers, guys. I don't know.
I mean, they are Google. You know,
classified
rabbits. They own
Jump
the
in.
World.
Let's see if you yeah. float. No, I love my
they
Google
They are
account.
Google, but...
Yeah. Here's what proves the strength of Google. I was actually having a conversation about this with somebody the other day. Google is the only one I've heard of that's like, have you Googled it? You don't hear anybody be like, have you Yahooed it? Or have you...
Yeah.
Let's
yeah.
Alta Vista it. Web wow. crawler
it. Do you know what it was supposed to be before Google?
No. What was it supposed to be?
Back rub.
Think of how our verbiage would change. Our whole generation would have to say, have you back rubbed it? That would be so awkward.
Oh, no. Wait. Or was it? It was either back rub or it was massage.
Okay, that's even more. Have you massaged it? Have you massaged it?
It was on Wait, Don't Tell Me. And I'm
glad they made it Google because personally, that will help my own vocabulary immensely. Not to mention
differentiate it a little bit from existing vocabulary.
I'm trying to imagine. I'm a teacher, so I'm imagining how that could get misconstrued talking to a student. Have you massaged it? No, I just told him to massage it, really. just quite mine.
Oh, that doesn't help either.
I just remembered what it was.
I'm telling you, it would be bad.
Go online and massage it already.
You know Google you know was a really good was? Choice.
It was rub down.
Oh.
That's what it was.
And that doesn't help either.
Because it's just that gross.
Wow. So let us take a moment and thanks for Google for naming the name Google. Yeah. I wonder how they even thought of that. Let's call this Google.
I read an article about
Frener.
It. And I can't remember exactly what it was, but it might be related to the number a Googleplex.
Googleplex.
Yeah. Which was like that.
Isn't it like infinity?
Schoolyard number that trumped all other numbers until we found out about
Googleplex.
Infinity. Yeah, exactly. I Googleplex dare you. Something like that.
Anti-disestablishmentarianism dare you. Pick a really long word and say it.
I pneumonia ultramicroscopic silicochondrosis dare you.
See, he trumped me.
That was the
I'm
that was
still
the
impressed.
Trump. That was the Trump.
I'm still impressed.
I'm not even going to try. I surrender now.
Oh, hang on. I might have one. Nope.
Wait, no.
I was like, I said it in my head. I'm like, that's not the only one. I was gonna be like supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
It's pretty long, but it's not quite
quite as long as your word.
No,
mine's like maybe a shy second place.
Yeah, and mine's a disease. So
yeah, it's
bring
yeah.
it. No. Anyway, tangent.
Yes.
Was there more news?
No. Three quick stories. Nothing too crazy. I think the only other thing was there was another studio that signed on for the UK launch of Netflix.
Oh.
But that doesn't really affect us, so nuts to them.
Okay.
Motherland.
And all our UK listeners are like, well, fuck
yeah,
you,
good,
boys.
Good for you guys for actually getting it finally.
You Yanks.
Yes, the colonies are already included. Suffer, Mother England, suffer.
So.
You know, they do, not to hit a horrible tangent, but still nice and relatable to UK.
Yeah.
Is there was a competition between UK and the US recently where lawyers had to defend the U.S. declaring itself its own nation, whether it was legal or not.
What?
And apparently the British did really well this year, but we like snuck by a hair.
That's
Yay.
Awesome.
Kristen Pat's your own back.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just narrate that one.
They're not taking us back.
For the kids at home.
For the kids, for the yearly customers.
Just in case if they took us back.
Right. Which, I don't know. They're running out of options over there.
I feel like we have a bromance going on, a really strange bromance between
the US
and the
UK. Oh, yeah.
Will you take me back?
We stick together and make horrible, horrible mistakes.
Yeah, dude, bromance. That's what it is.
Sometimes we bail them out when they get into really shitty situations, like.
And then we get into shitty situations, and then
World
they side
War
with us.
Two.
Sometimes we see them getting punched, and we're like, no! And we intercede, and then we're like, oh, you deserve to get punched. What do we do now? Now we're stuck fighting with you. That stinks.
Oh, dude, bro.
Okay,
cool.
That's enough. That's not enough. About
yeah,
the
you would
Good
probably. Yeah, they're getting Netflix, so it's related. Anyway, discussion topic time?
Yes, the discussion topic that I thought was just bringing it back to very basic and going with, in terms of streaming media, what are you listening to / watching?
Mm. Yay! And Kristen.
Well, I have a thread that relates because I'm on Netflix. I just got Netflix like this month. I finally convinced myself to spend the whopping $8 a month on it.
Mm-hmm.
I had to be convinced. That's like two coffees a month, guys. I don't know if you understand that situation. That's two whole coffees a month that I had to sacrifice for Netflix. I'm an avid coffee fan. But no, so I just started on Netflix, and I did the whole, like, rate your favorite movies, see what they recommend you, and they recommended Being Human, the UK version, to me.
Yeah.
We just talked about the UK a lot, but, you know, I love the show. It's good. I like it. It's interesting.
You have to refrain from drawing on the table because it definitely picks it up.
Yeah,
it
sorry. Picks it up through the vibe. Oh,
yeah,
vibe
I was about to say it. Something, but it's a little ambiance, I guess you could say.
Little personality to when I'm speaking.
Yeah.
You know that it's me when I like hear scratchy noises preceding. And
yeah.
Well, before it was a lot of people going like this.
Ow.
Ooh.
Yeah, that was Dan slamming his beverage down on the table.
Because people just, you know, didn't pay attention. They're just going,
See, I thought of that, though. I conveniently, see, I'm putting up and down.
Yeah.
Can't really hear it.
When you set yours down, it sounds more like a bass thump, like our next-door neighbors have some sweet jam going.
But it's very occasional.
It's a very laid-back beat. Very laid-back. Almost, what's the word? Lethargic. Something like that. I don't know. But, you know, yeah, so it's there. It's kind of cool. And but we're
that's what I'm watching.
We're off on
I don't know. I'm on Netflix.
Again, yeah. There we go.
I'm watching that show.
Cool.
I just started the third season tonight.
Nice.
It was exciting.
So is that like, do you just hop onto a season and just go episode after episode after episode?
Yeah, I watch them pretty much in order, unless it's Star Trek. Star Trek's my, I mean, you can't go wrong with Star Trek, so you just watch whatever you want. You
yeah.
Know? Yeah.
Plus, I've watched it all already, so it's like second time through. But third, fourth, we're not counting anymore.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. What are you guys on?
How far are you into Next Gen?
There were all those episodes of Next Gen and Deep Space Nine and Voyager that I watched that I caught randomly when I was a kid. So I'm filling in the gaps. And there are some that I remember from childhood, but. Mostly it all feels new, which is really cool. And I'm actually only about halfway through the third season of Next Gen.
Oof.
Because my rate of consumption has slowed considerably since getting a full-time job.
Oh, oops. Yeah.
But then I've also been watching Deep Space Nine and Voyager at the same time,
simultaneously.
Too.
Ooh, that would be confusing.
Not really, because I'm keeping the characters straight, and, you know, Next Generation is in our quadrant of the galaxy, and then Voyager is way the hell off somewhere else, so it's like, okay, they're way the hell off over there. And then there's DS9, where it all just kind of happens in one place. So yeah. It's pretty easy to keep them separate that way. And then, of course, the characters are all pretty unique and
they kept the flavor out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. You started me on DS9 the other night again. I hadn't watched that in years. And I was like, whoa!
Yeah.
The passing of the torch. The Picard. The first episode. I was so excited.
Jean-Luc.
Sir Patrick Stewart.
That's right. Sir. And don't you forget it.
Don't you forget. I was explaining that to somebody today at work. They're like, Patrick Stewart. I was like, no, 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 no. That would be sir. Thank you. They looked at me like, are you okay, honey?
Like, he's been knighted by the Queen of England.
I'd like to see you do better. The Queen Mother touched his shoulder.
With a sword. So, yeah, that's how you knight people, I guess. And
you
also
give them a pat on the back really aggressively. Tunk.
No, it's actually about pitching a Cheez-It into their open mouth. That's
is that
how
the,
you get
that's all you need to do.
Is that the new way?
You can try it right now. Here you go, guys.
Oh, I hereby dub ye.
Catch!
MSG! Pew! Knighted!
Oh. So, yeah, lots of Star Trek on my Netflix queue, all up in my instant queue. And then Also, Storage Wars, thanks in part to my dear co-host here, Dan. I don't know what I'm going to do when I get to the end of that season.
Have you seen the episode where he brings in the psychics?
Yes.
Yeah. I laughed my face off when he did that. I like could not stop laughing the whole episode.
I did enjoy the midget episode.
That was pretty funny.
That was funny, too. And Barry. Barry is awesome. I really like his just...
Yeah, Barry is why I watch that show. Yeah.
Meh.
It's Barry.
He's
no, that's his attitude. Wife? He's like, yeah, meh.
Oh, yeah.
You know? The wife is pretty okay, too.
The wifey?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She is very attractive. I will say that.
Yeah, she's pretty okay.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I will go on record as saying yes.
But yeah, fun, fun so show.
There's that. And then, what else have I been watching lately? There's something else that's been creeping up that I've been watching every once in a while. Maybe I mentioned it on a previous episode, but it does relate back to Star Trek. And I know I mentioned this to you when we were watching DS9. There's a documentary on Netflix now called The Captains.
The Captains.
Did I mention that?
You did.
Okay.
I debated about watching that tonight or being human, and I was like, being human, I need to know what happens.
Well, I would
that's next
highly
to my instinct, though.
Recommend it. Yes. Again, for you kids at home who are regular listeners.
Yearly customer.
Yeah, and let's see. While I think of the other thing that's been kind of in the outskirts of my viewing regularly on the Netflix.
Right.
Go ahead, Dan. What do you have?
I have been binging really hardcore on comedian stand-up stuff, including the new Conan O'Brien in between doing the Tonight Show and starting back up on TBS. There's Can't Stop. It was a really great documentary. Really funny, really interesting look at Conan. And then, you know, there's always that once you watch enough stand-up comedy on Netflix, they start to put that as its own little recommendation column. So I got Christopher Titus, David Cross, David Byrne, and I can't think of the other one unless I look at it. But on top of that, I always binge a lot on Futurama, which we kind of talked about before.
Yeah.
Mm.
Though they don't have one of my favorite movies of theirs. That's unfortunate. That's one of them's too popular, I guess. Otherwise, I talk about this so much, but I can always watch an episode of Phineas and Ferb and, you know, smile at it because it's just... I mean, it's made by the guy who did Rocko's Modern Life, so there's that right level of humor to it. At the same time, there's that, you know, idealistic, summer is fantastic mentality to look at. And then there is a platypus that fights an evil scientist. So just, you know, you have your options, and you can really...
It's a win-win.
Latch onto it easily.
Win-win-win-win-win.
And on top of that, it's one of those Disney shows where they have music to the point of a few characters singing at least once every three episodes. But the thing is, the music is actually surprisingly pretty good. Like,
yeah,
I've purchased a lot of the music on iTunes to the point of I can listen to it and enjoy it out of context.
We watched a couple episodes the other night, and there was some music on
one of them.
Episodes.
Yeah, I made you guys watch. We're getting the band back together because it has three music segments in it. It's like one that's just going through basically many genres of rock. So you just like get little snippet songs.
Yeah, that was great.
And then another one, which was about a hairdresser who's fabulous.
Yeah,
that is the name of the song, Fabulous.
I just had in my head, you guys are talking about this new one, but I just had the image of the Disney Beauty and the Beast. Have you seen it? It's called Hey Girl. What's his name? Was that Eddie Izzard did the voiceover? Who did the voiceover for that?
I don't know, but it's
Fabulous.
It's a voiceover of Belle walking into her village at the beginning of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Hey, girl. And,
yeah.
Hey, girl.
Yeah.
That's and, how you do it, bitch.
Yeah, but it's voiced over in a really funny way that makes the
so
whole
it,
scene
it's along the lines
laughable.
Of the G.I. Joe kind of thing, or...
Yeah, more or less, or
just the
X-Men
dubbed,
episode.
You know, controlled dub of...
Yeah.
Or even throwing laughing. It back as far as Mystery Science Theater just, you know, hitting mute.
Yeah.
Where you hear people kind of in a mocking way of what's going on.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Just making fun of what's going on screen, interpreting it in a different way.
But he's singing the whole time, which makes it hilarious. He sings the song that she sings.
Did Emily try to make us watch that once? Because I know she was on a tirade of making us try to watch YouTube videos that we wouldn't have.
Yeah. I saw it actually when we were down at homecoming, and I haven't seen it since, so we probably haven't approached that one on the show yet.
I went home, and my parents are very conservative, and I was like, I have to show this to my parents. Because, like, okay, I don't know about you guys, but I love to just mess with my parents as much as possible. Like, it just, I need to do it, you know? I was talking, what was it, 3 weeks ago, I taught my brother about what active listening looks like, you know, in a therapeutic rapport. You just repeat the last sentence of whatever the person before you said. And it makes them think you're actually listening to them and care. It works great, but it's kind of a trick of the trade when you're a teacher, you're in, you know, counseling. And I tortured them with that last week. I taught my dad how to do it, and we just sat there the whole dinner making fun of my mom and my brother. It was fabulous. But, no, so I was so excited. John showed this to us at homecoming, the Hey Girl, and my parents are really conservative, so I was like, I have to bring this home and, like, play it and watch what my parents' faces look like the whole time. You know? And the whole, like, you know, it starts out, and my mom's face just, like, drops, and she turns ashen white, and, you know, and my dad's sitting there. He's like, no. No. And then they kind of look at each other and just burst out laughing. They can't stop laughing the whole thing. So let it be known, you know, the more conservative party would think it's funny as well.
Yeah.
I enjoyed myself immensely.
I wish I could mess with my parents, but...
You don't mess with your parents? You're missing out.
Yeah, you know my parents. Yeah. It wouldn't work.
Your parents are pretty hip.
I know.
I have a good rapport with my parents.
No, like I,
you know, but we like joke with each other all the time. It's kind of
it's
what
not
we
that it's there's no real way to mess with them because they get everything.
Oh, not cool.
They're on top of it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's. I mean, you know, you can play coy for a second and a half, but you know, it's just like the light bulb goes on just quickly enough. That it's like, oh, that didn't work either. Waste my time.
My personal favorite, I have like Mama Johnson stories from like forever, but Mama Johnson, I'm living in Australia. Mama Johnson sends me an international text message. She'll cost her like $350 or whatever. Hi. <I'm> like, okay. I'm like, I'm not writing back. So she calls me 5 minutes later. She's like, oh my God, are you okay? I'm like, I'm fine. Well, you didn't
really
write back to my text message.
We're doing.
I'm like, you said hi. Just does not get it. Love it, though. Fabulous.
That's fun. That's
very,
fun.
Very sort of comical interchange with them always.
I don't know if I've... I'm not sure if I really mess with my parents.
I don't think you could mess with your parents
either. No, they're pretty hip, too. I mean, maybe not in the same way that yours are.
No, but it's one of those things where, you know, any of us could make a joke at your dad, and he could come back with a better line.
Yes, he is.
Like, he will pick up on it immediately. It's like, I know how to, you know, get you back.
Yeah.
Let me just squash that before it begins.
Yeah, he's quick.
Snippity snappy.
Yeah.
Nah, I make fun of them, but they know. It's like, it's been an agreement in my family since we were young that's how we all relate to each other, is by making fun of each other, so.
Yeah.
It works.
It's a good...
Feeling very alone in the room right now. This is my justifying my...
Well, no, my dad no. actually does that for my family, like, to us. He'll be the joking one. But it's still like just dry enough that it's just like you almost wouldn't catch it at first. But it's just kind of it's in the background, like, oh, okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, he does do that.
Yeah. He sneaks it in there. He's very good at that.
Yeah.
The problem with me, I've struggled with sarcasm my whole life. Like, it's really, Adam, you know this.
Yeah.
It's really hard for me to understand sarcasm, but I live in a family of, like, we all make fun of each other. And they're all very sarcastic, but I don't get it. So we made up this joke when we were little. My parents or my brothers would have to hold up an invisible sarcasm sign every time they were being sarcastic. They just raised their hand for me, and I'd be in the corner like, you guys are so... That was sarcasm? Oh, you're not mean. I'm... Damn it! I missed it again! But we got older, my brother started running me over with a sarcasm train. And, you know, they'd make a joke, and I'd kind of sit there confused, and they'd be like, chugga, 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 chugga. And we'd act out the whole scene of me getting obliterated by this train, and it was gory and awful.
So it's kind of the equivalent of, you know, when people every do time. the straight over the head
That's sign. Fun.
Except for I would get...
But creative.
Yeah, they do sarcasm drive-bys, too. They'd be like, ah, drive-by, chugga, chugga, chugga. Sarcasm. I'd be like, oh no. I think they killed me once with the sarcasm sword. So.
Sword of sarcasm.
Oh, ye thou endeth me. We do it in good fun, though.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Was it like a tonality thing, or?
I don't know. I just don't get it. How would you explain this, Adam? You're welcome to try being sarcastic with me, and I'll be like, really? When did that happen?
It's,
seriously? No, really? Dude, you had a pet turtle and you dipped it in chocolate? Why would you do that? Just like, logically, I know it doesn't make sense, but it doesn't make sense. So I'm like, wait, what?
Kind of more on the fact that it doesn't make sense than the fact that I'm saying
general confusion, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, to a certain extent, it's like you're giving them the benefit of the doubt sort of thing.
I'm not gullible, like, though. I'm pretty street smart, yeah. So I don't know where it comes from.
I know,
right?
I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe I was just sarcasm doubt as a child.
And I definitely
became numb to it.
Sure. I sometimes will, like, I'll pick up on sarcasm. Like, there'll be a little light that goes off in my brain that goes, that was sarcasm. And then... And then the rest of my brain will be like, yeah, yeah, but let's investigate further.
For me, the one thing that pisses me off is, and I know everyone talks about this all the time, is through instant messaging and texting, where you don't get context, you don't get attitude, you don't get tone. Right.
That's so,
so
hard.
Every now and then somebody will send something very sarcastic, but they won't follow it up with a, by the way, that was sarcastic, because they think that you get it.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I, you know, in my head I thought, hey, you know what would be great is if you could just, like, record your voice and then send people a message. And then I realized I was talking about a phone call.
No,
and it really
actually,
just kind of ruined my moment.
This is actually really funny you mentioned that. I got a voice message. Like, somebody sent me a voice message to my voicemail. They didn't call me. They just sent me a voice message. Like, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I still have no idea who this is. Like, I don't know who they are. But they, like, leave their little message, and I can barely hear them because they're not talking loud enough. And then it's like they tried to hang up the phone, but they couldn't. So I, like, hear them in their pocket for, like, you know, 15 minutes. And, like, really? Okay, yeah. I just need to get the end of this so I can delete it. But who does that? Who sends a voice message? That's weird.
Misdial?
No, it was like, hi, Kristen, this is so-and-so. I missed the name, so I couldn't even get back to
you. Okay, okay.
This is so-and-so. I was just thinking that, you know, from, and then, like, fades off again. So, you know, whatever, you should call me back in. Okay, right, so. Doing the, like, fade in, fade out
it, stuff. It's really more so that the, like, phone was mounted and they kept walking past it.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know, I felt like it was pacing, but anyway, then it goes into the pocket and you hear the swish, swish for, that's, I agree. You should just call people.
It would work nice, messaging. But we're kind of spoiled with, you know, all of our phones having some sort of caller ID at this point, essentially. Right. So you can screen calls.
Isn't there a way you can protect your phone from that, though? Like, if you call, like, what's, it's like a star number. Like, star.
It was star 6-7. Oh. Hmm. No, that's only if somebody star 6-9s you and you want to block it.
No, but I know there's a way where you can block your number before you call somebody.
But even then, like, if I don't, if somebody calls my cell phone and it comes up as an unknown, I let it go to voicemail.
Yeah, I don't answer it either anymore.
And, you know, there are certain times with, like, certain people, it's like, voicemail. But then, you know,
I love you not that much.
There's that convenience of texting where it's just like, okay, I need to get out a mass message to people where I know they're going to check it. So I'm not going to go to Facebook, so I'll have to go to a text. But it'd almost be nice to do that voice text almost. It's just like, hey, guys, I want to do something. Does anyone want to do something tonight? Shoot me a message.
Yeah.
Just so that, you know, you get that inflection and tone and you can really convey. I mean, you can try to pretend you're excited in a text, but if you actually hear somebody say it, you can tell a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you. My personal pet peeve, I agree with you. The inflection is hard to get. I don't know really a solution to that other than actually having to connect with a real person.
No, it's true. It's true.
I say through a podcast.
Well, no, I mean, like, I've used Skype video conferencing now that I
That's
have
nice.
A
yep.
phone that has a front-facing camera, so I can actually do that.
Yeah, I use Skype too.
But it's really nice just to kind of have that, you know, future technology feel to it. Sorry, I moved away. Yeah. Because I remember for the span of, I'd have to guess, maybe 3 to 4 months, we had a video phone, a legitimate video phone, where there was a screen probably, what, like 2 inches by 3 inches, and a camera, and, you know, you pick up the phone, and you talk to somebody that way.
Wow. And
it worked only exclusively with this, you know, the any other phone of the same type. So you had, if you're going to use it, you had to call somebody who also had that phone, or you could just make regular calls and the screen didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember the few times feeling so futuristic, sitting down in my basement, straddling the piano bench because that's where the phone was. So feeling really futuristic all of a sudden. And using
piano.
A video phone in like early 2000. It's just like, this feels right. I was promised a lot of other things right around this timeline, but video phone's a good start. Let's keep going.
My personal vendetta, actually my roommate got me started on this, Rory, she's awesome. But she gets really flared up about this topic. She'll talk about how she refuses to vote in another election until the president promises to create a floating car. She goes, they've been promised to us in movies our whole lives. Don't tell me we don't have the technology. We're in the 2000s. We need a floating car, and I'm not voting until someone promises one. She's not serious, of course, but it's very funny.
It is funny.
No, my personal pet peeve with communicating with people via, you know, we have all these outlets now, but do you ever like catch yourself wondering, okay, how do I get a hold of this person? Like, I could Facebook them. I could like comment on their like Twitter page. You know, I could,
yeah.
I could send them a text. I could send them an email. I have all these ways to get a hold of this person, but how do I do it?
I feel like I've mentally, like, automatically lumped people into very certain categories.
Yeah, me too.
Of, you know, these people are appropriate to text. You know, these people, it's always phone call or email for these people.
Yeah.
You know, it's only phone call.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
My personal pet peeve is, like, the people you don't like. For example, I have a boss. I have, like, 3 different jobs. But one of my bosses, she's like... She doesn't know how to communicate. I don't know how else to put it. So I can write her a letter, like leave it on her desk for her, send her an email, Facebook her, send her a text message, call her and leave her a voicemail, and verbally tell her about something, and she still forgets about it. I'm like, how do you do that?
Oh.
I left you like 8 reminders. Do not work Thanksgiving Day. Like, you know,
wow.
Like, you know, so like, and I have friends that do the same thing. I'll Facebook them, I'll text them, because I know they're going to forget, right? They always forget. So you have these, do you have people like that in your life where you're like, no matter how I try to communicate with you, you refuse to be communicated with?
John.
But then they
John. But then sorry, John.
But then they complain about it. They're like, you never call me. I'm like, are you kidding me? When was the last time you checked your voicemail or your Facebook
John.
Or your text messages or your email or checked the mail?
Oh.
John. Podcast intervention, John. Answer your damn phone sometimes.
John, I don't know you, but I don't know if I want to.
Oh.
He was a Lutheran.
You do know him.
Who? Which John?
Schrader?
Schrader. I don't know Schrader.
At the time, apparently, he had a beard.
I feel like...
I know the name, but I didn't know him, I feel like
you should have known him.
He has glasses.
He's pretty awesome.
Huh.
But I wish he would hang out with us more.
Part of Team Awesome.
Cough.
There's a lot of us in the cities now. I didn't know there were this many of us.
Yeah. We're all over.
We're everywhere.
My mom's a Lutherite.
Mm.
Luther... I don't want to say Lutheran.
No, that wouldn't be appropriate.
I apologize. That's not accurate.
Yeah, she's awesome. She gave me a Luther tie pin and a Luther Stein, I guess you could call it. Yeah.
Stein?
Yeah.
From when she was there.
Devil.
Yeah. It's
real deal.
Really cool.
Stein.
Yeah.
I'm just making up random words over here. Throwing in Stein.
But we've at least rolled to, I think, the 40-minute mark at this point.
Oh, man. Oh, wow. Okay.
Because we've been hitting tangents, which is nice.
We have.
It flows better that way. And what we are going to do, since there are only three of us tonight, is we are going to play... Have you ever played... do you know the London Malton game?
No.
Okay, well...
Oh, here we go.
We will get you up to speed on that.
Okay.
Because that is the game that you two are going to play right now.
Adam and Kristen.
Yes. Whew.
That's right.
I'm going to beat you.
Face off.
I'm probably going to die, actually.
So you know Name That Tune?
Yes.
Essentially, this game is Name That Tune, but instead of notes, you get actors' names from the bottom of the billing up.
Oh, I'm going to lose big time.
And instead of the song, you know, it's movies, and you get a chunk of the review. So you get the year, you get how many stars that Leonard Maltin, professional...
You won already.
Well, just wait till we get into
it. Okay, all right.
We'll do a practice round to show you the concept of the game.
So I'm warming up, guys.
I'll let you choose the category. So for the categories I came up with, your choices are Picks Your Dreams, so Pixar movies and DreamWorks movies, CGI animated.
Okay.
It's Rachel McAdams' birthday this week, so happy birthday, Rachel McAdams.
Okay.
Or American Film Institute's 100 Most Quoted Movies.
Let's do the 100 Most Quoted.
So all the movies that are on this list that I'm going to give you 3 years to choose from.
Okay.
All of them have a line that's on this most quoted list. So, for instance, if it's Forrest Gump, it'd be Life is Like a Box of Chocolates. You know, recognizable to the point where it's on top 100 list. So the three choices are 1967, 1992, or 1999. 99. So I'd go through and I'd tell you that Leonard Maltin gave this movie 3.5 stars out of 4. Goes from bomb to 4.
Okay.
Calls it an exceptional thriller. One of the supporting actors is extraordinarily good. The film is sinuous and creepy without being manipulative. And the writer and director has a cameo in the movie. And you get 6 names are on the list. So you'd have to try to figure out how many names you need to hear on this list from the bottom up to name the movie.
Okay.
So if you didn't know the movie, you'd say 6. And then it'd go to Adam. And he'd either have to say 5 or name that movie. So then, hypothetically, if he had no idea too, he's willing to give you all 6, then it'd go through, it'd be Glenn Fitzgerald, Donnie Wahlberg, Ovilia Williams, Haley Joel Osment, Toni Collette, and Bruce Willis.
The Sixth Sense.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey.
So do you get the concept?
Yeah, it wasn't until you said Bruce Willis.
No, it's true. Like, it's true.
That one I know.
It's
okay.
True.
All right. Okay.
But, you know, that I see dead push-ups. People. It's one of those, if you can think of it, 99 might have also been a tip. It was a good review because it's actually a good movie.
Yeah.
So I went for the most recent. Yes. Makes sense.
Well, now we get to play a real round.
I feel like we need to coin toss for this.
No, you're the guest.
Oh, I'm the guest.
You're the guest, so you get it.
Choose. You sure do.
So your three categories are Frank Oz films. So Frank Oz stars in these films.
Okay.
I Love You, Bill Murray.
Okay.
So these movies have Bill Murray in them.
Right.
It's also Owen Wilson's birthday this week.
Okay.
So it's Owen Wilson films, but they're all from 2001.
I'm going to go with Bill Murray.
Bill Murray. All right.
I like me some Murray.
Your 3 years are 1996, okay. 2000, or 2004?
96.
Leonard Maltin gave this movie 1.5 stars.
Ooh.
Trying to find stuff that doesn't give it away right away. Setups for laugh lines or visual punchlines are muffed time and time again. It's a waste. An R-rated version of the movie debuted in 1999, so 3 years later. Stupid and proud of it, this comedy goes to the gross-out route and then, halfway through, asks us to care about these pinhead characters. And there are 11 names on this list.
I'm going to go with 11.
11 names.
10 names.
10 names. Can you do 9?
Are we bargaining?
You're bidding to see who can go the lowest and still get it accurately. Because the person who gets, if you get it right on the guess, you get a point. If he tells you to name it and you get it wrong, he gets a point. And we're playing to 3.
He can have less guesses. I need more guesses.
So then you say, name that movie.
Name that movie.
Ah.
So your names, do you want to hear the review again?
I think I got the gist of it.
Okay. 10 names.
Mm-hmm.
Prudence Wright Holmes, Zen Gessner, Lynn Shea, Rob Moran, Richard Tyson.
What?
I know, right? William Jordan, Chris Elliott, Bill Murray, Vanessa Angel, and Randy Quaid. So you are missing the top name.
Uh-huh.
And the top name is the giveaway.
Uh-huh. let's see. So it was 96.
1.5 stars.
1.5 stars. Kind of...
stupid and proud of it.
Yep.
Comedy goes to the gross-out route, and then halfway through asks us to care about these pinhead characters. Setups for laugh lines or visual punchlines are muffed time and time again. What a waste.
Oh, delaying any longer would be a waste.
Ah.
Because I don't know at all what it is.
What if I threw in Woody Harrelson? Woody Harrelson, Bill Murray, Randy Quaid.
Still not...
I have no idea.
Yeah, still not getting it for me.
Kingpin.
Oh.
The bowling movie. It's...
never seen it.
Bill Murray rocks a pretty great comb over in that movie.
Really?
As an aging bowler.
That's awesome.
Like, it gets to the point where he and Woody Harrelson are showing off. Like, they're in a showdown. And, you know, Woody Harrelson is also the fake comb over bald, horrible, like, aged the worst. And also has, like, a hook for a hand.
Ooh.
And is bowling.
I've seen parts of this movie.
And Bill Murray is, you know, the guy who's still trying to pretend to be young, and by the end of it, his comb-over is completely up. it was a good character. But you have a point.
Oh, I got a point.
You got a point.
You got a point.
Yes.
I like this game, I think.
Yeah, it's half strategy. So you can...
strategize.
You can win without knowing a movie.
Well, that's good.
But since, Adam, you didn't win that point, you get to pick the next category.
Sure do.
So your three choices are Happy Birthday, Owen Wilson. So these are all Owen Wilson films that are also 2001 release.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Birthday, Rachel McAdams.
Right.
Since it's also her birthday this week. And I will give you Wrestling is Fake. So these movies have a wrestler in the cast.
Let's go with Owen Wilson.
Owen Wilson. So
okay.
We're going to use hand signals on this because I don't feel creative enough to pay attention enough to figure out which inflection you're trying to use. So it's 2001, 2001, or 2001.
Okay. Kids at home, I'm going to go with 2001.
Ah, he's a loser, is what he...
I made an L shape.
Yes. So for two.
He I'm made an L shape. That, second.
At that right over my head. Don't know what just happened.
So this Owen Wilson film from 2001.
Continuing on. Thanks, guys.
Is 2.5 stars, which I do not agree, but that's okay.
2.5 stars.
It's a rambling comedy.
Rambling.
It has eccentric qualities.
Eccentric.
The main character has a savvy performance, but strains for effect and essentially has no story. And there are 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 names.
Let's do 9 names.
9 names.
8.
8 names.
Name that movie.
Let's see. You want the review again, or are you good to go?
No, I'm good to go. Give me the names.
All right. Alec Baldwin. Seymour Cassell. Danny Glover. Bill Murray. Luke Wilson. Owen Wilson. Ben Stiller. And Gwyneth Paltrow.
I know this.
Oh,
I know this one.
I thought I had it, but I don't.
It's tough because...
I was going to guess Kung Fu Hustle, but I know that's wrong.
No, I don't think...
That was...
It doesn't have... Chinese film. It doesn't have film.
I think you're thinking of a different film.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
No, I mean, you know, Owen Wilson was not in Kung Fu Hustle.
Really?
Kung Fu Hustle was a Chinese movie. Like Chinese language, Chinese actors.
I'm thinking the one with Jackie Chan and Owen Wilson.
That was something else.
That's Kung Fu
That was
Think of the name.
High Noon.
Yeah, High Noon and the London one.
Well, I think which was the same was
okay,
a sequel.
Anyway.
Yeah, it was a sequel. But yeah, any guess? Eccentric qualities, rambling comedy.
No. I give up. Go for it.
It's the Royal Tenenbaums.
It's the Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah.
Oh, I started watching that once and never finished it.
And I legitimized my point.
Yes. So now it's 1-1, but now you get to pick a category again.
What was your point?
Because you didn't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were trying. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have rejoined the masses. Thank you.
Okay.
Your categories are.
Mine.
Zero names, which I read the entire review, so it's pretty obvious what it is by the end of it.
Let's do that one. Help
like
us sister
one.
Out.
I like this one.
Sure. We'll,
do it, and then do we just race to like figure out?
Yeah, it's who can bid the lowest, essentially.
Okay.
So it's what happens is the minimum bid is zero names, so it's the name of the movie. But then you can go into negative names. So who's the top billed person? Who's the top billed person and the person after that? So you can go into negatives. You know, if you can do 5, it's the first person on the list, second person, third, fourth, fifth.
So you have to name the actors from the top of the bill down.
In order.
Oh, really?
After saying the title of the movie.
But these, I do a pretty good job being able to pick movies where people can do more than 2 at least.
Okay.
Or at least 2.
All right.
So your 3 years.
Names. 3 years.
Your 3 years are 1985, 1997, or 2008.
Oh, none of those are good years for me. Let's do 97.
97. Leonard Maltin gave this movie 3.5 stars. Sweeping romance set against the backdrop of the RMS Titanic's maiden voyage in 1912 and framed by a modern-day story of a salvager who stumbles onto a heretofore unknown survivor of the sinking, beautifully played by the 1930 leading lady Stewart. Spectacular in every way, an eye-filling recreation of the sights and sounds of the grandest ship of its time. But what keeps it afloat are the magnetic performances of the young lead. Storytelling, savvy, and momentum make up for some Banal dialogue. Banal?
Banal
dialogue. I had a friend. Banal dialogue. Some footage of the actual Titanic wreckage is sprinkled into the opening sequence, written by the director, winner of 11 Oscars, including Best Picture, Director, Visual Effects, Music, Songs, Cinematography, Sound, and Costumes. Cameron revisited the ship's watery grave in his 2003 IMAX documentary Ghosts of the Abyss. And there are 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 names. Minimum bid is zero. What is your bid?
So I tell you the number of actors I think
that you think you can do in order from the top down.
Okay, 2.
So -2.
-2.
Can you do -3, Adam?
I'm going to try for -3.
-3. Can you do -4?
No.
Movie is.
Name it.
Okay, it's Titanic.
It is. First name.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yes, it is. Second name.
Kate Winslet.
Yes, it is. Can you name the third name?
Billy Zane.
It is Billy Zane.
Yes!
Holy crap.
Oh, yeah!
How did you even know that?
I've been waiting for a three name to go through.
Oh, man.
Win.
That was sheer genius right there.
That was impressive.
That was lovely.
But that's what makes this category so great is from the beginning you knew it was Titanic, so you got a good picture of you could do at least two names on that thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isn't that fun?
I like it.
So it's your turn to pick again, since it's 2 points to 1 point. And your three choices are Happy Birthday, Rachel McAdams, Picks Your Dreams, or we can do Zero Names again.
Picks Your Dreams.
Picks Your Dreams. All right. Your three choices are 1998, 2004, or 2007?
04.
04. Leonard Maltin gave this movie 3 stars, calls the movie dynamic. Says the movie all comes together. It's starts out as a sharp comedy. It has a shift in tone and lengthens a lot of the story. And it was an Oscar winner. And there are 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 names.
9
names.
Okay. It was 04, you said?
Yes. 3 stars. Disney or Pixar CGI animated.
Okay. I zoned out a little bit. Can I get the review again?
Yeah. 3 stars, 2004, dynamic. Starts out as a sharp comedy. The result is a shift in tone and a lengthening of the story. It all comes together. Oscar winner of sorts.
Okay.
Multiple Oscar winner.
I'll do 8 names then.
8 names.
I'll bite 7.
7.
Name that movie.
Ooh. Let's see if this pays off.
Jag my memory.
Your 7 names are John Ratzenberger, Elizabeth Pena, Spencer Fox, Sarah Vowell, Wallace Shawn, Jason Lee, and Samuel L. Jackson.
She had her own theme music. Yeah, I'm coming up blank. Go for it, Adam. She's yours.
Ooh,
What if I added Holly Hunter?
Still not quite there for me.
Craig T. Nelson?
Mm-mm.
The Incredibles?
Ooh! Oh, that totally makes sense now.
Samuel L. Jackson, Jason Lee.
Yeah.
John Ratzenberger is in essentially every Pixar movie.
Yeah.
Is that the one with the family?
The family that are superheroes.
Yeah. Why didn't I think of that one?
Because it's kind of the diamond in the rough of the Pixar movies.
It is. It's awesome.
It's awesome, but you don't think of it as much when you think of automatic Disney Pixar, Toy Story,
Yeah.
Ratatouille.
Toy Story, Ratatouille, Finding Nemo.
Yeah. Wall-E.
Wall-E, for sure.
But it's kind of lost in the middle there.
Yeah.
But that's 3 points, Adam, to you.
Yeah!
So that's
hooray.
Good old-fashioned game over on that one. So
that was well played, Kristen.
Well played. A valiant effort.
And now you're aware of the game so that you can, you know, watch lots of movies and come back and, you know, fight Adam and sometimes another guest again.
Yeah. And
I know the movies. It's the actors' names. Like,
that can be the tricky part, especially when you're working from the bottom of the bill up.
True, yeah, true.
I don't do the actors' names.
But that's a good time to zone out, is at the end of the list, and then, you know, once you start realizing that they're telling you the names, you kind of jump in halfway. It's like, oh, I should start paying attention now, because then it starts to matter.
Right. Mm.
But we just graced the hour mark, we've timed this out perfectly.
Yeah, time awesome. To wrap up.
Yeah. So, you need to hop in, is what he's saying. There you go.
Awesome. Yay. I said awesome.
There you go.
Yes.
Cool.
So do you have anything to plug? Anything that any of our listeners to pay attention to? Something that you're involved in, something that you're aware of that you want other people to check out? Anything like that?
Are
you
about
on Twitter? Are you, you know?
Oh, as far as live media.
Well, anything really.
Like, are you participating in anything that you think other people should check out?
Well, I will say it is Autism Awareness Week, and I work in special ed, so if you don't know anything about the issue, get online. There's tons of resources about it, and if you don't know somebody with autism but have somebody around that you know has it, go for it. Meet them. People are people. That's my shameless plug.
That's, you know, good cause plug.
Yeah. Thank you.
True to form.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thanks, well, Adam, guys, for having me on.
Well, thank you for coming, very much so.
Yeah.
Because we had one of those good riffing episodes where it wasn't really incredibly structured because our conversation definitely wandered off the usual path of streaming media.
Yes.
But it was still fairly coherent despite the UK bashing.
Yeah.
But well, Adam, do you have anything to plug?
Mm-hmm. Not currently.
You want people to harass you at work?
Well, like, you could harass me at Wells Fargo.
In Chaska?
Yeah.
Chaska, Minnesota?
Yeah.
Go find Adam. Get his signature.
You could check, come say hey.
Withdraw some money.
Yeah. Make a deposit if you
want. But you're on Twitter, so your Twitter is?
@AdamErdmann.
It's also his name.
So, yeah, it's my name.
Which, I'm going to say this on air, you owe me a bio.
I still owe you a bio. That's right. For the website.
I'm pretty sure we're like episode 10 at this point.
Yeah, we are.
We are 10. No, we're at least 12 weeks into this.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And the website, bufferingpodcast.com, still lacks a bio from Adam. Well, I'm going to make one up for you. If by next week you don't get me something, I'm going to make this threat public that I'm going to write your story. Okay. And it will be long.
Ooh.
I went in.
Ooh. Okay.
I will collaborate with everyone. Maybe. Everyone will contribute one sentence of your bio.
It'll be like Mad Libs for Adam.
Ooh.
It's kind of like that thing where somebody was supposed to draw a head, and then like they covered up that drawing. Somebody was supposed to draw a middle. And
oh, there you go.
It's going to be like that, but a story of Adam. So there might be like repeat lines.
Okay.
That's great.
So no, I'm not going to write you a bio because I want to see how this turns out.
Okay, it's on. Everyone who's listening, contact me on Facebook or you can find me on Twitter at Dan L. Whalen, DanLWhelan, and send me a one-sentence summary of Adam Erdman as you see him as part of his bio, and it will appear on the website bufferingpodcast.com, or you can find us on Twitter at Buffer Podcast, because buffering is too long to add to that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
Yes. But so now you have it, and I'm really looking forward to. Yeah. Or maybe I shouldn't be looking forward to this, but we'll find out soon enough, won't we?
I'll make sure to write mine before I start accepting other entries, just so that I make sure that it's not like
Plan
a like accidental copy.
Excellent. Yes.
Yes. But thank you, everybody, for listening to episode 10.
Thank you very much.
I know we've mentioned it before, but you can find us on iTunes if you found us on the website. And you can also find a lot of bonus tracks on our website, bufferingpodcast.com. including the mic check that we did for this episode. We're going to play another game after this, we've done some Riff Track stuff, which I think I might still need to post, potentially.
Mm.
Other mic checks. We've also played bonus Leonard Maltin games. All that stuff. Check it out online on our website, bufferingpodcast.com.
Hooray!
Yay!
Or you can find us on Foursquare if you really want to, because the Frank Oz Memorial Studio is on Foursquare.
So check that out, too. It's a real place.
That's
Hurrah.
Right.
I guess.
Maybe.
Because it's on Foursquare.
That's right. But thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Bye.
Goodbye.